Welcome to the Rom-Com Games, a championship podcast.
Our season starts with 16 incredible,
or not so incredible,
rom-coms, with one movie being eliminated each episode.
Which rom-com will be the winner? Well, that's up to us, your hosts, Ruth
and Kristen.
So let's get started.
Today's movies are Forgetting Sarah Marshall and But I'm a Cheerleader.
Welcome back, everybody, to your friendly neighborhood podcast. My co-hosts and guests today are laughing because I already did this intro once, and so then we had to stop because I messed up the order of things. And so now we're doing it again, and it just doesn't feel as, like, je ne sais quoi. You know, like, it doesn't feel as natural second time around, so I think that's why they're laughing at me, which is deserved, but also... I will be kicking them out.
So this is so the podcast. I took notes. I came prepared. What
the heck? Who's that mystery voice, you may ask?
That mystery voice belongs to none other than our friend Jackie. We know Jackie actually from her podcast that we guested on last year. So pause this podcast. Don't delete it. Like, still save it.
But no, pause it. Stay subscribed. Yeah.
Go to Jackie Watches Stuff. Listen to all five or six. You have six seasons up? Five?
I think it was six.
Yeah. Listen to all those episodes. Then come back here and let us know if you like Jackie as a person and if you want us. Want her on our guest.
And if you don't like me as a person, please don't say anything. My self-esteem is so fragile.
We need to know, because or else we're going to have to go back and cut you out in post.
That's going to be a really awkward podcast.
Honestly, the thing I think is going to be more awkward is I'm really concerned, Kristen, I don't think you should have told them to do that, because I think the more likely option is they're going to go to Jackie Watches Stuff and be like, this is a much better podcast.
And never come back. That's the... You know, I mean, like, Jackie Watches Stuff has since retired. It's still available and wherever you get podcasts. But I, you know, if I can steal viewers and post or listeners in postmortem, that's really something. That's really, really something.
She's still our biggest competition.
No, let's stay here. These leaders are fantastic. Never leave.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how did you kind of, like, give us a bit of your background? When did you decide to make a podcast? How did you first, like, get into it?
Oh, my gosh. Well, that could be a whole podcast of itself, is my podcasting
good.
Life.
Good. Okay.
Podcast origin. Let's go.
We will give the TLDR. So I started podcasting actually in 2015, I believe. Ooh. It's a podcast called Higher Ed Social. So I work in higher education and did a podcast for a very, very long time, several years. Where we spoke with folks who work in higher ed. And then I started getting a master's degree and I moved and all these things and life and stress.
She's an educated lady.
I have to tell people. It's like I'm paying so much money for this master's degree.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like I'm going to tell people. Like I'm just going to do it. And so it just got really stressful. And you know, you never want your hobby to become stressful. So had to say goodbye for a while. Yes. But then the pandemic happened. To many people. I think many of us know that happened.
Most people actually.
Most people were impacted by it. And I was like, you know what? I kind
of
miss it. I miss getting behind the mic. And so it's funny that I'm here on a movie podcast because the whole shtick of Jackie Watches Stuff was me chronicling my cinematic journey, watching movies I probably should have already seen. Mm. And so to be here and talk with you ladies about movies terrifies me because... I never seen a lot of movies, but thankfully we did watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall on my show, so I was familiar with that. I had never even heard of But I'm a Cheerleader, so I'm happy. I'm so happy that I, one, learned about it, and two, was able to watch it for the sake of the show. But yeah, that brought me into podcasting. But we had to say goodbye because, again, it got a little stressful. And now I stream on Twitch in my free time. So instead of Jackie Watches Stuff, the podcast, it's Jackie Plays Stuff on Twitch because I play stuff. So come on over.
That's incredible. But yeah,
it's I'm real. I work. It's funny because I work in marketing, and yet I'm so bad at naming things. Like
I think it's pretty spectacular.
It's a catchy name.
It's very memorable. Thank you.
We're making the Jackie stuff like empire. Yeah. I guess
your name, like, I feel like just naturally go. Your parents must have known when they gave you that name.
I guess so. I really haven't met a lot of Jackies, but I feel like a lot of Jackies that I see like in media are. Completely bananas. Like I've never seen a Jackie who's just like, ah, yes, a normal Jackie. And so I'm like, am I crazy? Like, what did I do? So
for sure.
But we're all a little crazy. Yeah. So, you know, my
it's a lot more appealing than like Francesca watches stuff or something.
Yeah, sorry, that would be a bit of a mess.
Or like Ruth watches stuff that doesn't flow.
All right. See, I actually think Ruth watches stuff sounds kind of fun because the only Ruths I know are all super old. And so I imagine like a grandma watching But I'm a Cheerleader and just having like lots of interesting questions
oh,
about
lots
it.
Oh, yeah. That should be your... That
would be, that should be the podcast. We should invite my grandma. This is great. I do think that Kristen would murder me in cold blood if I started another podcast before I created a TikTok for this podcast.
It has been in the works, let's say, all season.
Yeah.
It's still a work in progress, meaning that Ruth has not done it yet.
I love that.
Yeah.
Listen, you've considered it.
It's a work. Yeah, it's a work in progress. Like, I'm working on it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm working over it, you know, I'm kind of turning it over in my mind.
Yeah. I'm considering
finding
it.
The pros and cons. Yeah.
We have the video. We have the data. Uh-huh. Someone, who else, who's to say who, but someone who's just to needs say? To do it.
Probably some other Ruth.
Probably old.
I mean, I stay
Ruth?
Away from TikTok. I'm with you.
Yeah. See, I love TikTok as a person.
Oh, see, I don't.
Oh, no.
I get so scared because I suck. Like, time sucks. I'm very susceptible to those. And so when everyone in my life is telling me, like, oh, yeah, it sucks my whole life away, it's like, I'm in danger here. Mm-hmm, like, this is not a good look for me. And I'm terrified of what my algorithm will look like. Like, truly terrified. Yes, well, I was going to ask you, like, both of you, like, describe your TikTok algorithm. Like, I feel like this is the new version of like a dating profile. Yeah. Like, tell me your TikTok algorithm. What are you getting? What am I getting when I'm on your algorithm?
Yeah. Kristen, you want to go?
Okay. I get a lot of like music theater TikTok, like single ladies Ooh. Down with the patriarchy, online dating Love is that. Rough TikTok. Sometimes I got some like ex-Mormon TikTok thrown in there, despite the fact that I'm not a Mormon nor religious. But you know what?
Love that.
Stuff has been fascinating to me nonetheless. Interesting. Apartments TikTok, like they'll show me like different apartments around the world. I'm definitely into that.
Love that. Yeah. I love
I can
that.
See that.
Mm-hmm. That's actually good stuff.
Yeah.
See? Right? It's good.
I'm
not really on it as much anymore. For a long time, I was like super hard on lesbian TikTok. TikTok really thought that I was lesbian. And I was like totally fine with it because I was vibing. Because like, let's be honest, like all the queer women were just like funnier than the straight women that were on TikTok. Yes. So I was like here for the comedy, here for the jokes.
Sure.
And then TikTok showed me a video that was like, I was like 10 seconds into it before I realized that this woman was like giving tips on like how to pleasure another woman better. And I was like, we may have gone too far. Oh,
no. You're like, yes, TikTok, you are correct.
All right. Okay. Correct. TikTok.
I'm tempted. Now I'm just going to like, so I have a TikTok.
Okay.
I just don't like go on it because I am scared of what it will do to my brain. Yeah. But let me just tell you, I'm just going to go through and see what the first five videos are.
Yeah. Let's
on
this
my
is great.
TikTok. Yeah. Let's see what's happening here. I'm going to turn the volume down so we don't blow out your earbuds.
You can't have any like copyright issues.
Mad to see how many of you are loving this cover. So I think this is a cover of some song.
Okay, that's neutral.
That's good.
Pretty neutral.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a for your page, someone cleaning, using like a Mr. Clean magic eraser, cleaning the inside of a car completely. Like,
are you into
seats.
like a before and after cleaning moment?
I mean, everyone's like loves to see the big reveal. Oh, he's like taking the car apart. So this is going to be like dirty.
This is escalated.
This is gross.
So soothing.
This is serious questions related there. What are you going for? Amish girl or exotic dancer? Hashtag mom talk. Not what? A mom.
That was all over the place.
I have an ad for Cerebral, helping to manage my anxiety, depression, insomnia, ADHD.
Yeah. That's all over the place.
What millennial woman isn't one of those things?
Honestly, you got to have at least one.
Oh, and then finally, a girl going down a rabbit hole on a sound, which I'm not quite sure what the sound is, again, because we don't want to copyright it.
I bet it is. I'm going to make a guess.
Should I turn it up?
Well,
check.
Let me guess. I'm going to guess that it is. There's a girl who was trying to make a video and she accidentally backed up into her bedpost behind her and she went, ah!
You're exactly right. watched a magic trick. Like, is this your card? Like that's wild. I'm getting out of here. I need to get out of it. I close the app.
All right. Well, now that we've covered what our TikToks are.
It's like a personality quiz.
Yeah, that or like a, I was going to say, like, is it a tarot reading? Did I just have a tarot?
Oh, kind of. Just
read my tarot?
Like what your future will hold?
Yeah, is it a clean car? That'd be amazing.
Okay, well, let's get into this little sphere that we have influence over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I love
this
it.
Podcast episode.
Let's do it.
First, Kristen, do you want to take us really quickly through what movies we watched today in case anyone has not been blessed enough to see them?
Yes. So our first movie, for those of you who have not seen, is Forgetting Sarah Marshall, starring Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis, and Jason Segel. And it stars Jason Segel as kind of just, you know, a hapless man, lives in L.A., been in a relationship with Kristen Bell for quite a long time. They get into a rut and she dumps him, unexpected to him. He then kind of has an emotional breakdown, decides to take himself on a vacation to Hawaii, where he runs into none other than his ex-girlfriend Sarah Marshall, who is a famous like celebrity and dating this like hotshot rock star now. So in the process of trying to get over his ex while being at the same resort as his ex, he meets Mila Kunis. They fall in love. They flirt. They help each other get over their respective breakups and like the rut that they're in their lives. Sarah Marshall intervenes again a little bit, but then Jason Segel says, no, not again, temptress. And he eventually gets back together with Mila Kunis, it is implied. After he, of course, goes home to L.A. to produce his Dracula musical, which should be a real musical, I must say.
Of course.
I agree. Yes. Oh my gosh, 100%.
And then you're probably wondering, what is a great movie to go up against Forgetting Sarah Marshall? And it is none other than the lesbian cult classic, But I'm a Cheerleader.
Threw me for you a bit of a loop, I'm not going to lie.
You knew that had to be the pair up.
This bracket sometimes surprises us all. This was originally in the enemies to lover trope, and now it is up against Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So this movie is about a high schooler played by Natasha Lyonne, who is a closeted lesbian. Her family and friends all suspect she is one, so they decide to send her to a gay conversion camp that is run then by none other than RuPaul himself, in his only film to date where he is not in drag.
That cameo, though.
Ooh. Is that true?
Yeah. That's what that's Wikipedia told me, and Wikipedia that's actually pretty always cool. Right.
Yeah, yes. I'll believe it. Why not?
So while she's at this conversion camp, it is very like satirical and over the top. And she meets, I forget the character's name, but she meets another lady played by
Clea DuVall.
Clea DuVall. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. They first hate each other, but they're paired together to kind of, and a lot of the tasks and the activities that they're doing are very genders like stereotyped and specific, and through all of these steps that they have to take to, you know, become quote unquote heterosexual again, they end up falling in love.
Oh my goodness.
And they fail the conversion camp, obviously.
Very hell yeah. We love that for them.
But did they fail? But did they fail?
They won. They gained in the game of love.
Yes, there we go. Happy ending for all involved.
So the theme of this episode, obviously, I shouldn't even have to say it. It is raunchy and colorful comedies about self-discovery.
Who chose that theme?
I did.
That's so embarrassing for me that I didn't think of that. Raunchy and colorful comedies that what?
About self-discovery.
About self-discovery. I feel like you need probably three more words in there, but we'll let it go.
Is that too short for your...
Yes.
Music? Yes.
Oh, no.
Raunchy and colorful comedy about self-discovery, and also people fall in love, and also...
They make treats? Naked scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you for that, Kristen. Well, let's get right into it, shall we? Because like we've talked about, these two, it's a weird pairing, and I'm very interested to see where we're gonna go.
Yeah, we recognize it. We're not gonna pretend it's not.
We good. Encourage it.
I support it.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, our first category up then, physical chemistry. Kristen, do you want to start?
I do.
I feel like it's something's like boiling back here behind the eyes. That seems unhealthy.
I thought about this long and hard this afternoon when I voted very early on to prepare for this episode.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Not 20 minutes before filming.
It sounds like you are well prepared.
Doesn't sound suspicious.
You just give off this, I was prepared for this energy. I'm feeling it.
For sure. So for my vote, I honestly thought this was kind of a hard category because I think they both have really good chemistry. I ended up going with Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And so my thought process, if you want to kind of delve into my brain a little bit.
No, thank you.
Going in. Miss Frizzle style. Yeah. I'm coming in.
Up the nose, please.
Yeah, coming right on up there.
Both of these films, I feel like it's a short amount of time for these couples to meet and fall in love. So I can't fault one or the other for being too short or too long. Well, I guess nothing's too long, but you know what I'm saying.
Nice. Jackie winked suggestively.
I can't wink without opening my mouth, so it makes it real dramatic.
That's kind of cool. It makes it obvious. Like, everyone, I am winking right now.
Yeah, hello. Wink, wink, wink.
But I think in terms of the tension that they had in But I'm a Cheerleader, it went a little too long, in my opinion. The transition from them hating each other to them being interested in making out and then eventually falling in love was towards the latter part of the movie. And I felt like it was just like maybe 20, 25 minutes too long in like the hate category. Not that I love a good enemies to lover. But with Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I felt like the tension was more flirty and like friendly in the beginning, but it was developing a lot faster and developing in a more smooth transition versus it was just kind of abrupt for But I'm a Cheerleader. Also, who does not fall in love with Mila Kunis? She is my girl crush. She is amazing in every way. And he even had good chemistry with Kristen Bell when she was not awful.
Sure. And, I mean, Kristen Bell's body in this movie is banging.
Insane.
Like, banging.
We gotta give props.
Those bikinis that she wore, I was like, never I imagine.
Girl. Damn.
Never do I want to imagine.
No.
No. Okay. All right. I'll go next because I voted entirely the opposite direction.
Okay. All right.
And I feel like I disagree with you on pretty much everything that you said and everything you've ever said.
Okay.
Interesting.
I probably will disagree with you on everything you say in the future.
This is great. This is fun.
This is good.
It's a healthy environment for you to come into.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I'm here to listen, I guess.
Yeah. I'm here to learn.
You're here to take sides and then let us know which one you like better.
I love that. Yeah. I love the idea of that.
I think I've expressed on an earlier podcast that I think Jason Segel is one of those people who is like very sweet and cute and kind of sexless. Like I never look at him and I'm on screen and I'm like, he's about to bone someone. I'm always like, that guy's about to eat a sub and then like do really bad stand-up comedy or something.
Not wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I think their chemistry pretty much entirely comes from the fact that Mila Kunis is just like sexy and can have chemistry with anyone. So I think her and Kristen Bell had better chemistry than she did.
Interesting.
Like, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Interesting twist.
So whereas actually in But I'm a Cheerleader, I thought that it was pretty realistic for them being like, you know, teenagers, 17, 18, however old they are, that they go pretty quickly from like, ooh, you drive me crazy to like, ooh, you drive me crazy. And I also just think like them looking longingly at each other is really intense. And I'm probably also biased because, in my opinion, like, well, actually, this is factual. The vast majority of movies that feature especially, like, lesbian characters, they cast two straight women in it. Mm-hmm. And you can always tell.
Yes.
They're just kind of like, oh, I love you.
Kiss.
Yeah. And so to cast two, I'm pretty sure, openly queer women, like, I just felt like it was, like, palpable chemistry coming off the screen, especially in comparison to, like, other lesbian love movies I'd seen. So I voted for But I'm a Cheerleader.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Where'd you end up, Jackie?
I was also in the But I'm a Cheerleader camp.
Interesting.
And I think it's really because I'm looking at the two main couples that we see, right? We see Kristen Bell and Russell Brand, and we see, I'm just, because what are their character names? Who remembers?
Who knows?
And Jason Segel and Mila Kunis. Like, neither of them had really especially great physical chemistry. Like, I didn't really feel...
Good point.
I didn't... especially... I mean, Russell Brand kills, and I feel terrible that he so has, funny. Like, Shia LaBeouf syndrome, where he, like, was only, like, he's typecasted all the time, or, like, yeah. Jerry Seinfeld syndrome, but, like, damn, son, you do it so well. Like, you're so good at being the, like, sexy, hot, I fuck whatever I want, yeah, like,
yeah. Crazy
dumb,
person.
Dumb rock star, British yeah. rock star. Like, he does really it so bad. Well, and so, like, he killed me, but, like, even the two of them didn't have any physical chemistry, yeah. which I think was... I would guess be intentional, right? Like she, sure. Sarah Marshall just kind of like decides to go off with this dude who she can sleep with, but their physical chemistry is just like more, they use their physical chemistry for comedy because whenever we yeah. see them having sex, they're in like ridiculous positions. Like I will it will like burn in my brain forever watching Russell Brand go up into a bridge while Kristen Bell is like on his pelvis. And like, I know in movie magic that like, obviously we're all tucked away, like nothing's going on there, right. but thinking about that as a sexual experience is like, no thank you, I'm good. And so like, I didn't feel anything for the two of them. And even right. truly when like Jason Segel and Mila Kunis were together, I was rooting for him, like for them, because I was rooting for him, like go yes. get him tiger, yeah. but I wasn't like, whoa, this is hot. So
I felt the same.
I just felt like we watched Megan like come into her own, and like even this these like side plots going on, you've got a lot of this like will they won't they looking over, and then the one girl who you think is there truly because she's like I'm here for the process, she like sneaks a little arm touch when they're sewing yeah. that wedding dress or whatever, so
and the other girl's terrified
I know, she's like what are you doing yeah. You know, I just think I'm more in the but I'm a cheerleader camp for physical chemistry.
We do have to call out, since you mentioned Megan, that Natasha Lyonne is also just like drop dead gorgeous.
Oh my god, stunning. Yes, yes, I'm sorry, yes, I didn't yes. even mention yeah. her.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Her, everything's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, perfect.
Absolutely perfect. And then Clea DuVall is like, when I look at it, I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah. So, like, every queer girl had a crush on her when they saw mm-hmm. this movie. Because mm-hmm. she's just, like, too cool.
Yep. She's the yep. cool one.
She's the
no,
cool
I'm,
one.
I'm with you. And that, like, pseudo, like, I hate to say sex scene because these kids, they're supposed to be portraying, like, 17-year-olds, yeah. which right. is kind of like, like, I don't want to talk about a 16, 17-year-old. But, like, that was, I was like, whoa. Like, I feel something right now
yeah.
for these women. And yes. was, like, excited about it. And even their little, like, cutesy moments was real cute. So.
That was a great scene. Especially when you compare it to, like, the beginning of the movie when she's making
yeah.
it with her football boyfriend.
Yes.
And that is such a good job of that.
By far the worst experience I've had in movie watching, I could say, my entire life.
Tongue is so
I was like,
prominent.
Does the tongue count towards the physical chemistry vote?
Because like, then it's like minus 15,000.
I was going to say, like, at first, because so I will be honest, I had no idea what to expect out of But I'm a Cheerleader. I
yeah.
did not read the synopsis. I had no idea what I was watching. And so to be all of a sudden thrown into, like, why are these people kissing this way?
Yeah.
Like, I'm very confused.
Yes.
Really threw me for a loop, but I was. Happily surprised.
Good. But you were like, oh, were you worried that those two were going to be like the love interests?
Exactly. I'm like, is this what we're watching? Because like,
yeah.
I just thought he was bad boyfriend. And she was like, sure. I really thought when I saw the title, But I'm a Cheerleader, and then watched this first scene of like gross football boyfriend being bad mm-hmm. at kissing, that she would like either fall in love with the dorky boy, because that's mm-hmm. always a thing, mm-hmm. or she would like become a dork and be like, no, but I'm a cheerleader, I'm a popular girl.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
like
gotcha,
that
gotcha.
Kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But no, did not guess lesbian coming of age story. I will tell
but,
you that.
But a good surprise.
It was great.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I feel like, I don't know why, I just feel like this podcast is going really well so far.
Oh my gosh, only because it's going in the favor of what you voted.
Oh no.
No, I think that's just a coincidence. I think like separately. It just feels really good. Okay, well, let's see what we do with the next category, which is originality and or storyline. Now, this is an interesting one because mm-hmm. it's very flexible. You mm-hmm. never know what's going to happen. You can vote for either or a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jackie, how do you feel about starting us out on this
very
big category?
Started.
Yeah.
So, I feel like let me like talk how I feel. Maybe I am Great. Voting for both. I'm yeah. voting for maybe both and neither. I'm not sure.
Ooh,
but
not helpful at all.
Forgetting you said a combination.
Yeah.
You open this door. So,
and sometimes we also.
Marshall,
vote in the moment too. So
yeah, it's fine. I'll feel something. It'll come to me. But Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I feel like this storyline, I cannot think of another movie that's done this, but like this is not an uncommon storyline. Like, you know, guy, girl, breakup. I do appreciate the add-in that like, one, they worked together, but it didn't make it weird because we never see them working together except that one hilarious scene where he's like, fuck you, you're fucking Billy Baldwin. and then also, like, I like the idea of like, oh shit, you're here. It's not like a, I'm going to try to get her back story necessarily. Right. It was like thrust upon him. But other than that, it's like, we've seen this before. Like friends, like they break up. I mean, most movies though, they get back together. This one, he was like super content and like, I figured myself out and Mila Kunis makes the right decision and comes to watch the vampire musical, which I don't know where, maybe that's where it should have fit in, was physical chemistry, like vampire musical. Wonderful.
Oh, that they had chemistry.
We had to, there was a lot of chemistry there. But with But I'm a Cheerleader, I have never seen a movie like this, but I have to acknowledge, like, this was definitely written in the 90s. Like, there were some problematic moments. I feel like we can rewrite this in 2022. It would still be very funny, but not as like, ooh, that didn't age that great, because there were a lot of, like, we were stereotyping a lot. Like, we had to make all the gay boys very, like, flouncy and they can't play football or like, whatever. And, like, all of that. And so that's why I'm kind of like, ooh, do I dock points for that? But I will say, like I said, I did not predict a lesbian conversion therapy story when I saw But I'm a Cheerleader. So I feel like I'm kind of leaning over there. Because, like, it's pretty daring. Is there any other movie that's like this? Probably not.
Not a comedy.
No, and also,
definitely not a comedy.
When you
maybe
look
some
at
documentaries,
probably that, and depressing ones. When you look at like the landscape of queer love stories, it's like always dramas, minus maybe some of the last couple of years. Like, there's the Christmas one with Kristen Stewart.
Yes, very good.
And, Love, Simon. Like, those are comedies. Besides that, every other single one I can think of is like a period drama. About how terrible it is to be gay love. So yeah, we really do. We got to give it props for that. I was also very torn on this one. I think originality wise, that like clear and obvious benefit to But I'm a Cheerleader. Like you said, like they really did something experimental and kind of risky and weird and new. And the fact that it's also it's a satire while also managing to have this like genuine romance and self-discovery plot at the heart of it is really interesting. But I kept coming back to storyline that, and it's partially because it takes fewer risks, but like Forgetting Sarah Marshall is a pretty standard three act and they cover it. Whereas, you know, we talked about, like Kristen talked about, they're falling in love seems kind of like rushed or it's oddly paced. Like a lot of, But I'm a Cheerleader feels oddly paced and I don't know. So I ended up giving it to Forgetting Sarah Marshall, although I feel uncertain about it.
I can understand that.
I also was uncertain too of what to go for, because like we have talked about how there's not that many movies, especially comedies, for the gay lesbian audience or like featuring gay lesbian characters. So like that makes it very original. Also it being in the 90s or early 2000s and like openly talking about like the negative or make poking fun of gay conversion therapy camps and like how they're really problematic, but doing it in like a over the top satirical way, like that's very original in my opinion. The pacing is awkward and they like they break it up in like the five stages of the program, but I feel like they didn't need to spend like as equal amount of time on each of the stages of the program to maybe give a little bit. And then like the ending when Natasha Lyonne realizes she's in love with Clay Duvall. Like, I get that they had, like, hot chemistry. Like, I agree. And, like, that moment when they're in that, like, weird, like, sex room.
Which I still have no idea. I'm trying to, like, figure the layout out of this whole place. They were in, like, where are they?
The house is so weird.
Like, I was like, I don't know. Where, is there, like, a bed just, like, available? Like, I'm confused.
So, and I feel like the discovery that, like, she's a lesbian and then she's in this camp and then she's in love with Clay Duvall. Like, all that happened very fast. And it just, like, sometimes it's just like, wait, how'd you discover that? Like, how'd you realize that? Like, oh, like, how'd you come to this reason? Versus in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, it is not that original. But I feel like a lot of movies don't really focus that much on, like, getting over the breakup as much. Like, sometimes it's, like, in the beginning and then, like, the breakup is kind of, like, this B plot line versus like, because he was faced with his ex constantly, it was more of like the forefront and the romance was kind of like the secondary plot line, or like was equal in some aspects. So I thought that was an interesting, an interesting part. Also, like comedies, like romantic comedies are not very raunchy normally. So like the fact that this was like an R-rated, like raunchy comedy, I also thought was pretty original.
If Russell Brand is in your movie, it's R-rated. Like,
yeah. It's God.
Like you can't like...
Yeah, Jonah Hill, he was anything with him in it.
It's so funny. But it's also like raunchy. I'll be honest, I oftentimes don't like raunchy movies, not because I'm offended, but because I feel like it's a substitute. Like it's lazy writing.
Yep.
You know, like don't know how to write a joke, so we just like throw a dick in there.
Yeah, 100%.
But this is the rare movie that like it actually is used in the right places to make it funny, or like the insane sex scenes and stuff.
Yes, or like Russell Brand trying to teach what's his face how to have sex using those giant chest pieces. Like I love it.
One of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
It's like I need to find the writer that decided that scene because it's like yes,
it's like, iconic.
Thank you.
And the casting was perfect. I mean, that guy who plays Kenneth from 30 Rock.
Yes.
But he is like the perfect, like, virginal husband on his wedding night who does not know how to have sex. Excellent. Like, they could not cast that any better. Or Paul Rudd as, like, the dipshit surf inspector.
Oh, God. Every time I watch this film and I see Paul Rudd, I'm like, oh, right, Paul Rudd's in this movie. Like, I forget every time.
And he's so dumb.
Yeah. It's so great.
So, in the end, I also voted for Forgetting Sarah Marshall just because I think it's a more fluid storyline. I feel like you like everything has like the right time limit. Like the getting over the breakup was the right amount of time. The focusing on the romance was the right amount of time. And then the third act could have been a little bit longer. But other than that, like I felt like the pacing of it made a lot more sense. And it's a just much more smooth movie all around.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I heard that. Okay, so we've started touching on it a bit already, but let's get deep now into character development. more over the top winks from Jackie.
We were just talking about Russell Incredibly Brand important. Having sex.
Yeah.
How do I know?
Oh, yeah. Deep.
Getting deep. Getting deep in the minds.
So character development. Kristen, do you want to start again?
The pressure.
Oh my goodness, I can go.
They just hear me speak. The audience needs a break.
Brother.
Do it, Ruth. Do it.
Okay, so this one was trying to my soul, to my morality, to my heart. I really, really, really wanted to find a way to vote for But I'm a Cheerleader. I really wanted to. Mostly because, partially because I was looking at our season earlier and we are getting stacked up with movies that have male lead characters. And I hate that.
You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Ruth hates men.
That's true. That's I'm a misandrist. I'll tell the man. No, but I often think that rom-coms with male lead characters have the exact problem that this movie does, which is a genre that like mostly appeals to women, and yet the female characters are the weakest part of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, Kristen Bell, they think for a minute, they think about turning her into like a whole person who's complex and has, and like, it's mostly his fault that they broke up, even though she went about it in a childish way. They think about doing that. And I really love that. But then at the end, they just turn her back into a villain who tries to seduce him and then has to work on like a pet detective show.
Yes.
Oh, and Mila Kunis, like, why does she decide to go to the US? Like, what is the action
to chase a boy, apparently?
Yeah. She's supposed to be like self-fulfilled now, but like, why?
Which that's like, the whole trope.
Right, exactly. So I get really disappointed by that from this movie, and I wish I could have voted for But I'm a Cheerleader, but I do think that, for one thing, the side characters that we've all been talking about in Forgetting Sarah Marshall are just, like, so good.
So true.
From a comedy perspective, everyone is so well cast, and all the characters are, like, distinct and amazing. And then also, Jason Segel's character arc, I think, is, like, the best out of anyone's. It's really, I think even the fact that he, like, thinks about going back to his ex is really realistic. I think he mourns for like an appropriate amount of time, and you see how he goes about changing, the fact that he needs to change. It's not all her fault. So I ended up voting for Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but I didn't like it.
Interesting. It hurt the whole time.
Yeah.
Did enjoy it.
What about you, Jackie?
Well, so when I was thinking about this category, I was thinking about Sarah in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Okay.
Because I desperately wanted to watch that, much like you said, Ruth, like, yeah. I wanted her to become more three-dimensional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, we didn't really see her, like, the reasons why, or we didn't kind of get a glimpse into, like, her being with Russell Brand before the breakup. Like, we didn't see True. Any of that. Mm-hmm. So she just kind of shows up and she's like, there's someone else. So, you know, is someone else, like, someone you truly love? Is it just someone you're, like, sleeping with? Like, honestly, we don't even know, because when we watch her and Russell Brand on the beach, like, it's a lot of, like, oh, we're together, I'm with him. It's not just kind of like a, hey, let's just have a lot of sex, which is Russell Brand's brand.
Yeah. Right.
So... Thank you, Russell.
Nice. That was so nice. That was nice.
I wish, like, we watched her go from, like, oh, I'm breaking up with this dude for this guy. And then she has some flashbacks that are like, oh, Peter's pretty good. And then she watches Peter be great. And then there's a moment where she's like, yeah, I lost the show. Like, show's canceled. And, like, you know, you're always so great. And then mm-hmm. we just watch her, like we don't right. see anything. We watch her go right to sex, which is frustrating. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn it, Sarah. So, like, that was kind of frustrating to me. Jason Segel's arc was, like, meh to me. Like, it okay. felt – maybe because it just felt so, like, predictable, because yeah. we've seen this all the time, where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I'm going to go back to my ex. Wait a minute. She's terrible. And I do appreciate, though, that his realization of she's terrible is because he can't get hard during sex. And he screams, maybe my cock doesn't want to have sex with you. And it's so good. It's so good. Heckin' good. It's so heckin' good. The acting when Kristen Bell is like, okay, do you want me to, like, give you a blowjob? And he's like, yeah, maybe that would help. And he's just kind of, like, scratching his back and, like, looking around. Like, it's just, like, so excellent. It's excellent. But I actually really liked Megan's arc in But I'm a Cheerleader. I think we saw, like, from the beginning, she right away was like, yes, mommy, yes, daddy, I will do this for you. Like, she doesn't even – granted – part of it is because she doesn't realize she's a lesbian, because she thinks that everybody has inappropriate thoughts about women at cheerleading.
Yeah. That was so sweet.
Which is so, like, oh, baby. Like yeah. you're so cute. You're so cute. And she kind of, like, she shows up and she's like, okay, yes, I will do this thing. Even though you watch her say, like, in her mind, kind of like, this is fucked up. Like, right. I'm sorry, I'm going to do what? But she does it all. And then all of a sudden she, like, in the bathroom, I think the turning point for her, like, they're in the bathroom, she comes in her, like, nightgown, and the rest of them are in their cool kid clothes, and they're like, yeah, we're going out partying, and she's like, wait, what? Like, and I'm waiting for her to be like, no, I'm gonna go tell, because Same. She just told on the two boys for hooking up.
Oh, yeah.
But instead, she was like, you know what? I'm gonna go, like, be my own girl, and then she, like, hooks up with Graham. So I feel like, and then at the end, she does a terrible cheer, in my opinion. There's no energy. They pep this whole thing up to be like, she's a cheerleader, and she loves cheering, and she's like, Graham, I love you so much. You should meet me in, on the bus. Like, what the hell, Megan? Like, you had one job.
So, yeah. Clearly, they ran out of a budget for a cheerleader.
It's like, could you maybe, like, can you, like, do a little, like, can we yell? Can we scream? Can we pretend to jump? Like, anything that isn't just like, Graham, I love you. Yes, I do. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Graham was into it. So
yeah, I just feel like she kind of breaks out. And even knowing that her parents are going to disown her if she, like, comes out and, you know, whatever, like, she did it. And I think Megan that got there on day one wouldn't have done that. So I think she just had a good growing experience.
Yeah.
Whereas Jason Segel didn't grow, wink, nudge, because he didn't want to have sex with Kristen Bell.
I mean, he came to the realization. You are
full of euphemisms, and I love that.
I got it. So I think that's my Kristen. Vote. I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to do it.
Okay, I love
solid
it.
Solid vote.
Go, cheerleader, yes and go.
Yes and go.
Good, do the thing.
Do that thing.
That was definitely one of, like, the laziest endings to a movie, in my opinion.
And I wish I could, where can I deduct that from? Because that got me so mad. I was like, everything for this? Everything for this?
And then it just
this?
Ended. Like, the Clea DuVall ran to the truck.
It was way too
need
rushed.
Because we've had this problem a couple times before with movies. We need a, like, fulfilling ending or something category.
Yes.
You throw that in at the end.
Absolutely.
So I have to agree with Jackie on this one.
Right.
Whereas I feel like the character arc that Megan / Natasha, whatever we're calling her, went through was
whatever
more
you feel
important. Whatever whatever we want to call her. It was more important overall, where she, like, in like a 6 week period ish, she had to go from thinking she was a heterosexual cheerleader with a gross boyfriend, let's be honest, to but like that's what she thought was like, oh, like, he's my boyfriend, I guess this is like how I'm supposed to feel, and like all that, to go from that life to like 6 weeks later being in a like full-on in love and in a lesbian relationship, to go from like learning she's a lesbian, accepting that she's a lesbian, trying to go through this gay conversion therapy camp and follow the rules like she's always been told, and then realizing like, hey, just because these are the rules that are created doesn't mean that they are right, and that there's something wrong with me just because I'm not heterosexual, and then also acting her feelings for Graham and her attraction. Like, that's a lot to pack into one person.
You're right.
Week.
Like, you're right.
Yeah. And she's 17.
Yeah.
She's going through some shit.
She's busy. Yeah. She busy.
I was not put together at 17.
No.
No. We're not put together at 30.
It's preach. Super preach.
So I think that alone was enough to secure my vote. And Graham went through a similar arc. She did eventually, you know, Natasha did decide to leave the camp when she was caught, you know, caught breaking the rules, versus Clea Duvall decided to stay because her parents were going to kick her out. And that was also kind of like a, she then moved to that gay couple's home where they were like taking in like kids who were kicked out of the program. And then like her just like learning that new reality because she knew her parents wouldn't accept her. Like, damn girl. Props.
Damn.
If I was going through all that, I would be like, listen, I don't have time to fall in love. Exactly. Right now. I got so much other stuff to do.
I know. It's like, I don't have time to be converted. Like, can we just like chill for a second?
Chill.
Like, can we just not? Like, let's just pump the brakes. I'll just like get my like mouth filled up with this dude's tongue for a little bit. Like, I guess.
Ew.
To make you all feel better.
I don't like saying it that way.
It's, that's what it, I mean, it's just like the word. Oh God, it's so bad. That image is burned in my brain. It's not good.
It's, yeah, it is not something I ever wanted to see, and I wish I can go back and unsee it. Just that first 5 minute clip.
Nope. But you can't.
Do it. Can't do it.
Nope.
It's a part of your life now. Integral part of your life. Well, this is kind of related to that, because I feel like our next category is social awareness. And you know what? It wasn't socially aware to make us watch that dude put his tongue
in.
Hell no. We need a warning label.
Like, yeah. Society? Yeah. Not ready for it.
Was this rated R as well? No.
I
can't be.
I don't think so, but let's see.
Look it up. I wonder like what they thought in the 90s. I could only see it being rated R because they talk about
things. Oh, it was rated R.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe because there's like implied sex and implied masturbation?
Maybe, but I honestly feel like it's because of gay people.
And that wouldn't surprise me either.
I just gotta say it. Yeah.
No, it's true that it's like gay themes. Yeah. We can't have that.
Like, you can't have it, but no one can see it.
God, don't show the children. They might turn
don't
gay.
Don't show the children. Okay, so it originally got a... This is insane to me. It originally got an NC-17 rating.
What?
Okay.
In order to get it down to R, they removed a two-second shot of Graham's hand sweeping Megan's clothed body.
That made it NC-17.
Along with a camera pan of Megan's body while she was masturbating, but not including like the actual act, just like her other body. And then a comment that Megan ate Graham out. So that's, I guess, the most explicit. But it's not actually showing it. It's just a comment.
No, it's just a comment.
But like, why did they keep the stuff that they did?
I was going to say, we watched Graham like kiss her like inner leg. Like, there's like some pretty...
That's innocent.
Interesting.
The kids won't know what that is.
They won't understand.
Yeah. There was a 2006 documentary that interviewed the director.
I will watch that.
Yeah, and the documentary is all about the film rating system, and they specifically allege in the documentary that films with homosexual content are treated more stringently than those with only heterosexual content.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
And even that scenes of female sexuality draw much harsher criticism than those with male sexuality. So it had everything working against it.
Yeah.
I would not call this an R movie at all.
No.
I would say PG-13, so that's pretty crazy. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, our next category is social awareness. So I feel like we all just became more aware.
Thank you.
This is a great lesson for today. The more
I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Homophobia is rampant. That's what we've learned from today's podcast, in case anyone didn't know. Okay, Kristen, now it's your turn to start.
Yeah, you
okay.
go.
Now
yeah,
I'll Kristen. Start. Okay. And I think it's an obvious vote.
Forgetting Sarah Marsh.
Forgetting Sarah Marsh, no. Kind of
the
what
only
I...
movie brave enough to show male genitalia.
Oh, God.
Twice.
Twice.
Yeah, twice. We see a lot of penis on that
show.
Yeah. Jason Segel, next time you write a movie, maybe a little less penis. It's just
yeah,
it was,
more
it
pants.
Fine. Yeah, more pants.
More pants. We love pants.
Throw those pants on, bud. Just some pants.
Listen, we love you.
Yeah.
We do.
With pants.
I just don't want to see your dick.
Pants. It's we love okay. you more with pants.
Yeah, and it was like a surprise yeah. both times.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm sorry. Please continue.
So I voted for, but I'm a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, as mentioned by us, you know, it had a very important discussion and conversation, and it was showing such a serious topic in, for lack of better context, a lighthearted way, and mm-hmm. but also was showing like how ridiculous conversion camps really are. Mm-hmm. And that even though they never said the words like, this is like immoral, this is like dumb, like why are we here for this conversion camp? Like that was heavily implied mm-hmm. throughout like the satirical nature of it, which I thought was very like smart and very clever. And also just like, it made you think at the end of just like, how did these become, well, I mean, like we know how they became so rampant, but like, there's still mm-hmm. conversion care therapy camps today, which is like
100%
hard to wrap your head around. So like,
yeah.
You know,
it's true.
We're still, yeah. you know, even though this was made 20, 30 years ago, we're still having the conversation of like having to prove to people like, hey, maybe fundamentally guilting them and changing who they are from the inside is wrong. Maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah, that maybe teaching them how to like vacuum isn't going to make them not a lesbian.
Yes.
Because fun fact, you can be a lesbian and vacuum. Mm-hmm. Those things are not
vacuum.
They are not dependent on each other, which is wonderful. And there's a lot of straight men that don't know how to fix a car. So don't worry. Which, did you notice that in all of the scenes where they're fixing the car, everything in the background was shaped like penises?
Yes!
And then there's one where they learn how to shoot guns, and there's like silhouettes of like a ranger or like a guy with like an army helmet and a gun, and it's pointing down at like, I don't know, someone on their knee or something, mm-hmm. but the gun, the silhouette of the tip of the gun also looks like it looks like a man standing with his penis and someone else on their knees ready to like give a blowjob. And I'm like, this is excellent. I love this.
I just love like it. How like overtly sexual everything was. Like when RuPaul yep. was fixing the car and like the oh camera God. Was like right on his car.
Yes, and he's wearing those like short shorts.
Yes.
And like, yes, RuPaul, get it. So good. My gosh.
Yes. So I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall also had like some interesting discussions of like, you know, morality of like when he tried to get back with his ex, like, is that cheating? Is that wrong? Like, and like what Mila Kunis went through with her ex-boyfriend of like, is she just like in a rut? Is she, you know, does she mm-hmm. need to change her life, or is she fine how she is? Like that was all interesting too, but not to the level of yeah. a cheerleader.
I think it's hard to beat, but I'm a cheerleader oh, yeah. in this category. Yeah. Absolutely. My only comment that I will say is like, yep, it was written in the 90s.
Yep.
There were some scenes and moments and things that were said, or even like, I didn't love that all the boys had to be like flamboyant. Mm-hmm. Like that's really frustrating.
Yeah.
And then there's a character who, she has a very short haircut and is a bit like have a bit of a boxier frame. And so that's the like, well, you look like a lesbian because you're not feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a bit frustrating, but like I said, it was the 90s. So yeah. for the 90s, it did pretty well,
mm-hmm.
I would say. But you have to vote. You can't. How do you not? Yeah. How do you not vote for voting on cheerleader?
I had the same problem.
Yeah, I had the same problem, which is that it's like super a bummer because we found out, Kristen and I looked it up last time we talked about this movie, we found out it was written by a man, a gay man, like an openly gay man. And so it's a real bummer that in this movie, like female homosexuality is like tender and sensual and gentle and loving, and male sexuality is like, it's hilarious that these guys want to bone each other, like it's just yes. all about sex.
Yeah.
And she never, my least favorite part of the movie is I've seen this movie a couple times and I always forget there's the subplot of her outing the two boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I don't really know why that's there, because she never has a reckoning with it. Like the guy just accepts her when she comes across him later in the supportive, like, older mm-hmm. men's house,
mm-hmm.
he they never have to have a talk about it. She kind of like, does she even apologize? I don't remember.
I don't think so. Yeah.
He's basically like, oh my gosh, you're here. It's great. Right. I love it. I'm gay. Yeah. And you should be gay too. And she's like, sounds great. Like, like, hey, you also just hooked up with, you also just broke a rule / sins like back there. So
that's my least favorite part, but everything else, totally agree with everything else you guys said. Mm-hmm. So also had to vote for, but I'm a cheerleader, obviously.
Yeah. It's hard to beat out.
Hard to beat. So that brings us to our final category, which I'm also very interested to see. This will be rewatchability. It's our last category. Jackie, do you want to start on our last category?
This is a tough one for me, truly. So I've only seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall twice, and then I'm a cheerleader once. So I feel like I'm
pretty
in
even.
Good. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say I'm in a good place to be able to judge this. I feel like this is a good, like, watching it the second time, I was like, oh, this is still funny. Like, I'm still laughing at Jonah Hill being totally ridiculous. I'm still, because how do you not laugh at Paul Rudd?
Obviously.
You know, like, Russell Brand's, all of his funny things. Like, I'm still laughing at it. The runner, like, with Jonah Hill just being like, I'm obsessed with Russell Brand. Like, here, I have cake for you. Like, did you want your champagne with the cake? And he's like, I have my demo. Like, good moments. Mm-hmm. I kind of think I'm going to vote for Forgetting Sarah Marshall on this one because I think, like, but I'm a cheerleader, while fun to watch the first time, I don't know if I'd necessarily be like, I'm so excited to watch this again. Mm-hmm. Like, there weren't a ton of moments that I'm like, oh my gosh, that was too funny or so funny. It was more just like, wait, what's happening here? Like, I was thrown for a loop. And so maybe rewatching it would be more interesting because I'd catch things I didn't catch the first time. But I think if I have to pick to watch another one again, I'm going to pick Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And yeah, I just love Jason Segel. And watching the Vampire musical, I always, like, I love it. And the when he's like, Peter, you suck, and like doing all the songs, it's just like, it's too funny.
It's so, too funny.
My favorite part of the Vampire musical is when his brother, played by Bill Hader, who I love.
Oh, excellent casting.
I forgot.
Excellent casting.
He was perfect.
Oh, so good.
When he, like,
excellent.
Gets, like, way too intense at the end.
Yes.
And, just, and, like, Jason Segel, like, looking at him, like, what the hell?
He's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Favorite scene of the whole movie.
It's so good. What about you, Ruth?
Yep, I voted the same. I think we often talk about, like Kristen and I talk about on this podcast, rewatchability feels like the rainy Sunday afternoon movie. You know, so something that you put on because it's comfortable, because it'll make you laugh, and because it'll make you feel nice. Doesn't have to make you feel the best, but it'll make you feel cozy. And But I'm a Cheerleader, I've probably seen this movie four times. I really love it. But I have to be in, like, a very specific type of mood to watch it, where I have to, like, I want to laugh, but not, like, uproariously. And I also want to use my noggin a little bit. Forgetting Sarah Marshall takes no brain usage.
No.
Yeah,
that's my favorite genre.
Yeah,
I don't have to think that hard.
I don't have to think at all. Only laughs. Yes. So I also voted for Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah. I agree with both of you. I have probably seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall at least half a dozen times, and I still find it just as funny. It's so quotable, too. Like, everyone, like, remembers, like, the, I cannot say the state fish of Hawaii, but when the bartender, the hoopa hoopa nua nua
something, bitch.
Like, everyone knows that line. That you sound like you're from London line from Paul Rudd. Just everything. It's just so cool.
Everything from Paul Rudd.
Everything. Yeah.
Paul Rudd.
Paul
MVP.
Rudd, period.
I need a Paul Rudd, like, spin-off show of him teaching surf lessons in Hawaii.
That would have been a really good, like, YouTube, you know, like, shorts. Like,
oh, yeah.
A minute
that
and a half or something.
So much fun.
That would have been funny. Well, that wraps it up. Kristen, I can't do the mental math.
Yeah.
Who's
do you
the winner?
Do some math for us real quick?
It's very close, actually.
It is.
This is the closest round I think we've had this whole season.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of, like blow it away winners, you know? Yeah.
I love it.
And it's 7-8, or 8-7, one should say. But the winner is But I'm a Cheerleader.
No way. That's wild. Yeah.
That is not what I expected coming
Me
out.
Me either. Very tight. Very tight.
Yeah, 8-7. That's a close
Very close.
Well, that's exciting.
My goodness.
Way to go, But I'm a Cheerleader.
Woohoo. Wait, you have to do a cheer for it. Go, cheerleader. Go movies.
Go movies. You
we love
are
you.
Great.
Run away and be my mate.
Yes.
Oh, mate. Yeah.
Mate, ridiculous.
Jackie, what did you have? What category did you have for us in case we came pretty close to a tie?
I was saying, I'm actually really, I kind of want to hear your thoughts on these actually, because I was really excited when I came up with them. I have two categories that I immediately thought of.
Yeah.
So my first category is quality of B plot. So in my opinion, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, one of the B plots is the couple that can't have sex, and we watch them like travel. Mm-hmm. And then in But I'm a Cheerleader, the romance between RuPaul and the son, I thought was very interesting. So was curious, or other B plots, because there's many a B plot.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
What are you feeling for B plots for these movies?
Ooh.
I personally think the couple that can't have sex was the much better B plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Forgetting I think I Sarah agree. Marshall. Made me laugh so hard. We got the hilarious Russell Brand humping a chess piece out of it.
We didn't know we needed that.
No, and that's so true. He's like, this hurts. And then you watch him have sex after, and he's like, crisis between my legs, and he's like, I'm cramping. And it's like, how many of us can relate to that moment? Like, it's absolutely. Just like, oh, it was so good. And
that's
then he's
so
like,
satisfying.
My wife wants me to come to bed, I guess. And it's like, oh, poor boy. Poor sweet boy.
Poor sweet
poor peace boy. Maybe he went to one of those gay conversion camps.
Like, and he got like shame baked into him.
Yeah.
Sad. Well, now this just that B plot took a really dark turn.
I know, sorry. I was trying to connect the movies. It's tough to do.
It worked, but it worked in a sad way. Yeah, I'd vote for the same. I think actually the RuPaul and the director's son like romance subplot goes along the same lines as the other stuff where it's like kind of disappointing because it could have been an interesting thingy.
I know. I wish it was. I really wish it was, because I think there would have been a great scene where mom finds the two of them hooking up or something. Like that would have been a really good scene, and we just didn't get it.
Yeah. Or you have one of them give like a monologue about the fact that like it's too late and they've already like bought so much into like being repressed. Mm-hmm. You know, and that could contrast with Megan's journey. But yeah, they didn't do much with it.
It just felt unfinished versus like the couple that can't have sex, like we knew exactly where they started. Oh,
yes.
We knew exactly where they started.
Finished. Hey. But I'm look at you. Throwing the sexual innuendo.
Learning from the past.
In there. I love it.
Learn from Jackie today.
I'm so proud. Just say that. Just throw that's what she said everywhere and one of them will stick. Like, one of them will
be like, hell yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. Wow. Well, yeah.
Okay, what was the next? That's a great
the other one.
What was the next one? Yeah.
The other one I had was quality of main character support system. So you've got Peter's stepbrother and stepsister-in-law. And then you've got basically Megan's parents, kind of, I guess, would be the support system there. I mean, hilarious. Like, I think, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Bill Hader, you can't beat him.
So funny.
But watching him be like, I love that the choice was made that it's his stepbrother. Like, I don't, like, at the end of the day, it's like, why did we make that choice? But I love that that's the choice.
But it's right. Yeah.
It just feels right. And then with Liz, the sister-in-law, coming in all the time, like, that's my mother all the time. Like, oh, me? You wanted me to come and give an opinion? I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
Yes, exactly. And so I feel like, but then it's just so disappointing to watch Megan's parents.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in terms of story, I do like that they stick to their guns and they're like, no, no, no. You are sinning and you will stay here until you no longer sin. And if you continue to sin, then you will just not be our daughter anymore. But then they end up creating their own like support system for parents of the gays.
I think they were at a PFLAG meeting. So they were at supposed to be at like a support group meeting.
Yeah. But then mom is in her like shroud and dad is leading the meeting, which was very weird. I was like, I'm confused what's happening here. It was a weird ending, but...
See, I would vote for But I'm a Cheerleader for this one.
Really?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think they do what I wish they'd done with Sarah Marshall. Like, they do a good job of humanizing her parents. I think they look legitimately, like, they're making fun of them, but not nearly so much as, like, Clea DuVall's parents or some of the other ones you see.
That's
you know,
fair.
Like, it's clear that they adore their daughter. They look, like, heartbroken when they, like, send her off this camp. They seem uncertain about whether it's the right thing to do. And then the fact that at the end... they see her like make this speech, and then they have that little cutscene at the end of them like going to a support group meeting, which says to me that like, okay, they just thought about it more, mm-hmm. and yeah. they were also indoctrinated. Yeah, I gotta vote for that one because like Bill Hader is funnier. But oh god, they drive me crazy the whole movie. They're just like they're the least helpful.
And I hate it every time I watch this film where he's like, look, I'm also in Hawaii with the backgrounds. Because I'm like, remember when everyone thought that was fun? Like, not even COVID fun. Like, remember when you got your first MacBook and you did exactly that? And I'm like, it hurts so bad.
I had the opposite reaction to that where I'm just like, I could watch Bill Hader pretending to be in different backgrounds all day long.
I love that.
Oh, and then the wife, like, doing the luau behind him.
Yes. So oh, my God. Yeah, she's like, it's the luau. And he's like, it's hula. And she's like, I'm doing a luau. Like, oh, girl. I hate it.
And, you know, what I like about, I think I'm going to have to vote for Forgetting Sarah Marshall just because you'll hate her. But, and what I like about this one is we've all helped friends or, like, dealt with friends going through breakups. And, like, you don't know when you have to be supportive versus, like, giving tough love. And I thought he, like, threaded that line pretty well. He was going more the tough love route, and I think he felt like he could do that more because he was a stepbrother. But still, it's just, like, how do you know when you're just, like, no, like, get over them. They suck. Don't bring them back into your life. Yeah. Move on. You do you. Like, I thought he did that very well.
Yes, you're screaming on the phone, like, why are you following him? Yes. Like, why would, Jason, why are you even calling him in the first place? But, like, oh, my God.
Oh,
like,
my, oh, I love that part, too. And then when he picks up the phone, he's like, are you happy with yourself?
Everyone needs that person in their life.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Everyone needs
I'm sad it's out of the running now.
I know. But you know what? It was a tough call between
I honestly was so confused by this matchup, but now that it's so close, it's like, all right, I guess I get it.
Yeah,
I guess I get it. They did kind of match up a little bit.
It's because they're both colorful and raunchy.
And about coming of age,
self-discovery. Self-discovery.
And sex.
Yeah. Well, Jackie, thank you so much for joining us today on this especially difficult podcast. We couldn't have done it without you.
I am so glad to be here to help out. This was... my world has been opened. I have discovered myself thanks to all these wonderful characters.
And it was colorful and raunchy.
It was so colorful, so raunchy. Can't wait to tell my mom to listen. Hey, mom.
Hey, my mom.
Guest spot on a colorful
raunchy
podcast.
She got a little shout out.
She does. She's so always she's does. She just sneaks on in.
Do you think she'll like feel the wink come through
100%.
The audio clips?
Nice.
Yeah.
And then every time I swear, she'll say that's a naughty word. Sorry, mom.
Well, it is. You got to keep track of those.
Yeah. I hate to see it.
Yeah.
Jackie, can you plug your Twitch username channel again for us?
That yes. Come on over. I bring this type of chaos all the time. I am over on Twitch, Jackie Plays Stuff. So twitch.tv/Jackie Plays Stuff. Hit the smash that follow button and like and subscribe. But yeah, you can follow. I don't quite have a schedule just because I work a 9-to-5 job, but I normally stream around 6 a.m. Eastern time during the week or 6 p.m. Eastern time during the week before work or after work. So it just makes sense. But yeah, come on over. I'm playing Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Ooh. Oh, fun.
Which is, I'm terrible at combat. It's hilarious. So I guess you can find me on TikTok at Jackie Plays Stuff. There are some funny Jackie Plays Stuff TikToks on there of some clips of my channel. But yeah, so you can find me at it's a lot of fun. Come over and play some Zelda. Bring some chaos.
Oh, we definitely will. Mm-hmm. And then after that, please come back over and subscribe and follow the Rom-Com Games.
Always. Like,
it's
subscribe,
it's a multi-step process.
Do it.
You can find us on Instagram, the social media platform on which we are successful.
Love that.
And we are... Kristen, are we down to the final four now?
We are down to the final four. So thank you for helping us get to this monumental stage in the podcast.
I will be cheering for the cheerleaders, let me tell you.
You will be on the sidelines.
Yeah. Enthusiastically. So please... keep coming back. Join us for Jackie's future cheerleading chance. And as we get closer and closer to deciding the winner of this season, which is insane to say, but we are getting closer. So thank you, everyone. See you next time.